I'm comedian, writer, and filmmaker Chuck Staton from the punk band Senior Discount.
And I'm writer and comedian Brad Rohr from the Providence Improv Guild.
And this is the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 504 of the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
I'm Chuck.
I'm Brad.
How you doing, Brad?
I've been better. How are you?
Yeah, you're not doing great today.
I am not.
You know what my goal is with this podcast?
To turn
your mood around.
Oh, all right. I thought it was going to be for me to eat this entire sourdough loaf.
Yeah, I'll help you with that too.
All right,
thank
you.
That's, you know what? I'm a helper.
That's the secret to turning my mood around, is that there's too much sourdough in my home.
No, I think this is going to be an all-time great episode because we have a lot of fun stuff. You know, if you're a listener of the podcast, you might realize that we do episodes sometimes that are, I don't know how to put this, like pre-planned, like our year-end look back or our Christmas episode, and then some episodes that are more like in the week, in the moment, up to, you know, current,
right,
kind of filling everybody in and talking about current things. And I don't know the last time we did a regular current episode.
It has been a minute.
It has been since when? Christmas podcast went up on the 21st. So we put up a podcast. We haven't done one probably since, I think, December 3rd was our last timely podcast.
Awesome. We've got a lot to catch up on.
That's how we should kind of
segment
it.
Folks, on December 4th, I had a sandwich for lunch.
we should segment them like, this is a timely one, and this is a an event one or something like that. Mm. Or an event cast. I don't know. An event. Because it was two Christmas look back episodes, our typical Christmas episode, our look back at 2020 episodes, and then our best of 2020 episodes.
Our Grammys and Chammies.
So this is our real first timely episode of 2021.
Wow.
And tomorrow, Donald Trump, he's gone, baby.
Yeah, we're hoping to get him on as the third for our podcast.
First of all, I know I would do it. Would you do it? Come on, you get an email tomorrow.
I'd make it like... 4 minutes in before losing my ever-loving mind.
No, you know what it would be? It would be he'd be on, and he'd just be a great guy.
Yeah.
Like, as long as he's not in charge of anything, he's just our best friend.
He's just, like, laughing and joking.
Yeah, right. He says jizz just as much as me.
Oh, how is that possible?
I know. Well, you can see Trump's our buddy. But that's our official motto.
That is not our official motto.
You know what? How about this? Would you trade him being president for him being our co-host?
For 4 years?
I didn't say 4 years.
You know,
four eps. We'll give him four episodes.
That's the sacrifice I'm willing to make for this country.
Oh, wow. That's good. You're a patriot. So we got a lot of things to talk about. A lot of things have happened. I mean, I think we don't really need to cover Christmas stuff
because
it's been thoroughly covered.
Yep.
We did a lot of look back stuff. I mean, usually at this point in time, we would be doing like, oh, Senior Discount had this show and there was the Chuck and Brad show. We went here. We saw this concert. We did this thing. But because it's still under quarantine, part of the quarantine, we don't have that kind of stuff.
We do not.
So we just did the regular Christmas stuff. Did I talk about the Comedy Connection live streams and stuff or not really?
I think we talked about the fact that we contributed to it, but that's about it.
Yeah. So I'll just go into that real quick. Like the only real creative. So, you know, during December, we did our Christmas series. I did my Tell 'Em Steve Dave projects, which were the Sunday Jeff Hanukkah special that Brad helped out with as a puppeteer.
Right.
And I did Frank Five Rewind, A Christmas Story, and that was fun. And also the Comedy Connection, our home club in East Providence, Rhode Island, our home comedy club, wanted to do some live streams.
Right.
And because of my extensive professional knowledge of video and comedy, they said, you're the best comedic director we know. Can you direct our live streams?
I don't think they said the "we know" part.
Yeah, they just said, you're the best comedic director. Oh, you know what they said? They said full stop.
Yes.
That's what they said. That's what it was. And so our buddy Ray Harrington, who is going to be a hot topic of debate tonight, our buddy Ray Harrington, comedian from the area, often on the podcast, he was hosting a lot of these live stream events. One of them was a movie commentary with Brian Bowden, our other buddy, who's on the Wicked Funny podcast. And also actually the Christmas variety show was with Brian Bowden as well.
Right.
Which we did a comedic segment for that we pre-taped and sent in. I shouldn't say sent in. I was there and I was playing it.
You sent it to yourself.
I sent it to myself. I emailed myself just as a backup.
Right.
And, was there one more? Oh yeah, there was another one that I couldn't be there for cause I was busy. But, so we got to do these live streams at the Comedy Connection. And the reason I bring them up is just cause it was kind of a cool thing to do. I haven't really done, like, you know, if you have your cell phone and you're standing in your living room and your dad's in the background picking his belly button and your sister's in the back curling her hair and having her period. I don't want to see that. Did you want to see that?
No. It's better than my dad curling his hair and having his period while my sister picks her belly button.
I don't want to see any of that shit.
Nope.
However, this was one where, like, you know, we had a stage, we had lights, we had multiple camera angles, we were live switching. It was like, you know, it was like a miniature version of like SNL, like the bones of that kind of live stream where I was controlling that. And I'd never done that before. I never did like a live stream or a multicam live stream or stuff where we could have overlays and throw to videos. And it kind of inspired me to be like, oh, we should be able to do this. It's tough because, I don't know if people would watch it, if people would care. But I work with Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and people would definitely care if they did it.
Right.
I want to work with other podcasts, and they would, you know, there's other people that would care about them. I think it'd be cool for us to do a video episode of us playing a video game, and we could use this for that. There's a device called the Blackmagic Atom Mini that allows you to do this with this multicam, like a live stream or whatever.
Right.
A lot of capabilities. And so I got one of those. I just bought one the other day, and I'm hoping that we can do some live streams or we'll figure out how to use it, how to incorporate it. And it was a fun little hurdle to get over to do these events. And I think that if you and I wanted to do a live Comedy Connection show, we could.
Yep.
And stream it through the Comedy Connection Facebook page, which has a lot of followers.
Right.
I was thinking maybe even if people were interested, we could do a Bradley Drawn live.
Right.
That only exists live. And the file doesn't stay there.
Yeah.
So we're not burning the bit. We're just performing live one time.
That's true.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about it.
Yep.
And this would let it happen in a way that's high quality.
Yes.
No fingering. Wait, did I say fingering? No, periods. Periods. I knew there was a vagina as part of it. No periods, no belly buttons, no curlers.
Wow.
Well, we'll have some curlers.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I want your hair to look good.
Yeah, of the three, that seems like...
Well, my belly button gets pretty linty. But anyway.
Yeah, but you don't have to pick it on camera is what I'm saying.
Exactly. What I do is I take the tip of a toothbrush, mm-hmm. I cut it off, and I duct tape it to the inside of my shirt.
Oh, good thinking.
That's all I'm going to do. I'll help you with your shirts at the end.
Thank you. Wait, just every shirt?
Every shirt that I own, and most of the shirts I come across, I do it to just in case I throw them on.
Yes.
What the? That's you putting on the shirt that I did, and you like it. But yeah, so there was that. Obviously, we had regular Christmas. A bunch of stuff, bunch of Christmas stuff, essentially. So Christmas is over. New Year's is over. What did you do for New Year's? Oh, did you come to my parents' house with us?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's right. We just had some fun. It's a small year. We're waiting for the world to come back.
Right.
Is that how you look at it?
A little bit, yeah. And it's tough to like look forward to things because I don't know when those things will be coming. If you were like, all right, definitely in August, we're going to be full steam ahead. You guys can go bowling as much as you want. And I'll be like, cool. Yeah. I can't wait. But now it's like, you might not be able to bowl until October, maybe not until January of 2022. It depends what the idiots of this country do vis-a-vis mask wearing.
Yes. Yes. I know. So it's tough. So, but anyway, that's kind of what might catch up. I mean, then there's some more recent stuff, which we'll get into in a minute. But over the course of the past month-ish, it's just been Christmas and doing the year-end stuff. And now we're finally ready to move forward. We had a great year in the podcast. A lot of fun. A lot of new listeners, which we heartily appreciate.
Yes.
However, there is some work to be done when you have new listeners, which is getting through all the new email write-ins you get in.
That's great.
And
this is the kind of work that I enjoy.
Exactly. We got a bunch of emails in the past couple of weeks, ready to tackle it now, because I'm not sure, what day did we record? A week ago Saturday?
Yeah.
So we haven't recorded in about 10 days. 10 days. Yeah. And in that 10 days, well, let's just say we got more than 10 emails. And we're going to attempt to...
You know, Third Eye Blind has a song called 10 Days Late. That's about an unplanned pregnancy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, period.
Yeah.
Again with a period?
Yeah.
Jesus.
This is a very menstrual heavy episode. You know what? No. It's a natural part of life, Chuck.
All right. You know what? So it's my belly button then.
All right.
All right. First listener email from recently. Ready for this?
Yes.
It's from a guy named Trent. Trent, hey, Chuck and Brad. I've started... by the way, if you want to write in, write chuckandbrad@gmail.com or go to chuckandbradpodcast.com and find the contact us link. We'll always read your emails. on the podcast unless you specify otherwise. And also, you know, find us wherever. I'm at Discount Chuck.
I'm at Brad Rohrer.
Yes, on Twitter and Instagram. B-R-A-D-R-O-H-R-E-R for yes. Brad. And Discount Chuck for me. From Trent, hey, Chuck and Brad. I've started listening since the TESD History Pods. Seems like that's where a lot of people have started, too. I wanted to ask a question to Brad.
That's me.
Because I've heard him mention about working at Walgreens in a couple of pods.
I did.
And I also worked there for a couple of years in the photo department.
All right.
I would love to hear Brad's take on that place and what he did, et cetera, et cetera. I personally hated it most of the time and didn't realize it was making me kind of depressed being there until after I left. Brad, I don't know what year you worked there, but did you hate the balance reward card? Did you hate going in the freezer to stock all that stuff while freezing your ass off and your nips and your tits? I added those too.
Yep.
Putting up hang tags, especially for vitamins, though I did enjoy taking them down. These were some of the things I really hated there. Not sure if you can relate to any of those, but I like to know other people's Walgreens horror stories, so it makes me feel better about mine. Thanks for the free, funny Trent.
Trent, I worked at Walgreens in the Illiana District, Northwest Indiana, Northeast Illinois, from 2000 to 2004. So it was pre-balance rewards program. And little things like, you know, putting up hang tags, which we did every Saturday night starting at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m., depending on, you know, whatever we were told at whatever store I was at. Mm-hmm. And it's the sales for the following week so that the next morning when people come in to shop, all the sale prices are already put up. And yeah, hanging them was a pain in the tuchus as well. And, you know, vitamins, there are a lot of different vitamins and they're all small and they're all like, oh, this one is CoQ10 5 milligrams and this one's CoQ10 10 milligrams, but only one of them's on sale and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So that's where you had to like pay the most attention to detail while trying to do everything else that you're supposed to be doing. Just a few quick stories. I was a retail management intern in the summer of 1999, which meant I was a glorified stock boy where I was supposed to be learning how to manage a Walgreens. And that was okay because I was the lowest person on the totem pole. So I could be like, I don't know how to do that. And somebody else would just do it for me.
Yeah. That's what I do when I used to have real jobs.
Yes. And I met, I met some people.
I mean, I would do it.
Yeah.
If I know how to do it, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to sit down and do a job, do work.
Right.
But if I don't, I hate doing a job.
Yes.
I hate when I don't know how to do something.
Yeah. But yeah, it was weird, you know, 10-week program. I was working 5 or 6 days a week. That was the summer I turned 21. A lot of stuff going on.
Sure.
I started improv for the first time. And then, that was level 2 improv. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So then after I graduated college, I was like, oh, I need a job. And I had decided I didn't want to do public relations anymore, which had been my major. So I kind of took my fallback job at Walgreens in store management. So I was an assistant manager. I was getting paid $32,000 a year in 2000, working 44 hours a week. And, you know, it was fine. I liked my boss, my manager. I started and 5 weeks later went out on disability for my back problems. I had back surgery.
And then new listeners don't know about our spine problems.
Chuck and I each had ruptured discs in our back years apart, unrelated.
Yeah. But we did have surgery together where we were both in this room at the same time.
We
both
hands.
Had the hair nets.
Yeah.
And we reached out to hold each other's hands right before we fell asleep.
It was very sweet.
I think they just switched our spines because mine's worse.
Yes.
Mine's a little better.
Yes. So it was that. And like we moved stores. So we moved from like an old not on the corner Walgreens to a new, you know, in 2000, on the corner Walgreens. And like, we screwed around so much in that stock room. We played stock room volleyball. Mm-hmm. We played stock room home run derby. Mm-hmm. We did the stock room Flora's Lava Challenge where you had to circumnavigate the stock room without touching the floor. At one point we had Pokemon like Wildberry Pop-Tarts that had been outdated. They were expired. And like 48 boxes of them. Mm-hmm. So we opened all 48 boxes and we would, you know, you claim it and then you have to destroy the food so that you're not like sneaking out free food. I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. We did a similar thing in GameStop.
Yeah. So we took these 48 things. So 48 times, I guess there's four packs in each of them. Mm-hmm. And we went all the way on the other side of the stockroom, like behind all these boxes. And we had a contest of like, you know, if you threw 10, who could get the most into the cardboard baler? And then we would collect, and we just kept doing it like for hours. And it was great. I that was the part of the job I enjoyed, screwing around. Yeah. And then I got promoted to executive assistant manager, which is, you know, like the level below store manager. And I started to actually learn how to do things, and I had less time for screwing around, which was not fun. Mm-hmm. I went to a different store and got a different store manager, and I have to be careful here because all the behavior is still alleged.
Oh boy.
But that manager allegedly was stealing Vicodin from the pharmacy and was caught in the pharmacy without a pharmacist on the premises, which is grounds for arrest.
Oh boy.
And certainly being fired. Mm-hmm. To my knowledge, the person continued to deny their involvement in stealing Vicodin. However, after that person was fired, Vicodin didn't go missing anymore. So, you know, but again, all alleged. Mm-hmm. That person also was told not to have contact with anyone at the store and then called the store and said, "Don't believe everything Brad says about me."
I love it.
And I was like, okay, I have the videotape, so
it's
not just me. Loss prevention had the videotape. But like, we put in a secret camera that—
Do you have to say alleged if you watch the videotape of someone do something?
I'm doing it to protect the podcast.
I know, but like legally, what do you think?
I think so. I think until it's like proven in a court of law, you what should if
someone,
say alleged.
What if someone like pushed you up against the wall and like fondled your genitals? Could you say they allegedly fondled my genitals? Would you have to, or could you just say they did?
I think in print, you're supposed to say the alleged, you know, a sexual assault.
Genital fondler?
Yes, yes.
I don't know. In print, maybe. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about if you have any of you, because you're the person that watched the tape. You're adjourned in this case. You're the journalist reporting on it on our podcast. And
I'm also the witness.
That got your, you know, metaphorical genitals fondled.
That's the only genitals that are being fondled. In any event, that person is no longer employed with the company. And then I went back to the original store I was at where I really liked my boss. And, you know, weird stuff. That was when a feral cat got in the store. And yeah, like we thought we saw it in the stock room one day, and I'm like, oh, that's weird. Anyway, and just, you know, 2 days later, somebody's like, oh, we thought we saw it in this other part of the store. I'm like, oh, it's weird. This phantom cat that's around, certainly not a real cat.
Yeah.
And then my my beauty advisor was like, there is cat poop behind the pantyhose rack. And
you had a beauty advisor? I got to see pictures of you during this time.
Well, so we tried to catch, and then one day we cornered the cat in the cooler, not the freezer, the cooler. And I put like all milk crates down. So I'm like, there's no way this cat can get out.
Yeah.
And like moved everything. And like I had this cat, this feral cat cornered, which you do not want to do to any animal. Mm-hmm. And I tried to pick it up. I was wearing gloves. Didn't matter. Scratched my arm like halfway up my wrist. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, had told my camera guy, my boy Pete, I was like, wait outside the cooler, and if it comes out, like grab it. And he was talking to the camera manager, and he did not even see the cat. He heard me shriek in pain, and he like ignored it, and the cat like ran back into the stock room. And so we went to the Humane Society. We got a humane trap. We put food in it over by the pantyhose rack. We caught the cat. I went into work early the next day. We got it, and it was not a happy cat. And so we called animal control, and they came and got it. They're like, "Yeah, we'll put it down." And I'm like, "No, like,
really?
Don't
Why
do
you
that.
Put it down?"
They're like, "Ah, oh, it's too wild. It can't live with humans. Just look at it." I'm like, "It's in a cage on a Walgreens office floor. Like, let's take it and let's give it 3 days with other
Why,
cats."
Why was it
and
freaking out in that
it
cage?
It was freaking. It was not happy.
Like what?
Hissing and spitting and like
spitting.
Swiping at the
they
at
spit.
The cage. Yeah, and I was
like a llama.
It was just like hissing so much that it didn't have control over its saliva.
Really?
Yeah. It was
is it scary.
It was scary, but I'm like, it's in a cage, so it's not that scary. Also, speaking of shrieking, there was one night. So I was, manager, and I got called. I was supposed to be accomplishing a task, like redo the vitamin aisle or some nonsense like that. And I got called. I kept getting called like, oh, we need too much money in this drawer. You have to take some money and put it in the safe. Too much here. This needs change. This needs change. This is a refund. And I was like, I just want to get everything done. And I was in the office. I had just finished putting something away. And I got called to the front to do change. And I was like, God damn it. And I threw my keys.
God damn it.
I threw my keys across the office. They hit the keyboard to the computer, broke off some of the keys.
Hold on. Then they hit the lock to the cage. The cat.
The cat gets out.
Gets out.
I mean, it's actually like that would have been less impressive. They bounced off the keys and then stuck into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like key point first.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, now I'm not mad. This is just too cool.
Yeah, that's too cool.
And so I went and
you're not allowed to be mad after something like
that. No. And then, I was trying to like glue the six back on the keyboard or like pretend that it didn't.
Draw your own six.
blatantly my fault. So yeah, it's weird because I definitely felt like it wasn't a job for me.
Yeah,
I liked many of the people I worked with,
mm-hmm.
and learned a lot about management,
mm-hmm.
and customer service.
Yeah,
and so if you're ever like, oh wow, Brad, you're such a doormat, a lot of that is because of how I was trained at Walgreens to just give people what they want.
I feel like. I feel like with everybody else in your life, you're a doormat.
Yeah.
And then with me, it's like the doormat attacks back.
Yes.
Like everyone walks on you.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you take it out on me because you can't take it out on them.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yep.
I'll tell you this. I was a stock boy.
Yeah.
Do you think this was similar?
I think there were elements that were similar. I was just like, in addition to stocking, I had to like take care of all the money stuff.
So I was a stock boy at a place called Benny's, which is kind of a hardware and automotive store in Rhode Island. And... you know, I think you'd classify it as hardware and automotive. It definitely had the stuff that would be in a hardware store, but we also had a lot of like candy, some toys. It's almost like you ever think of like a department store from like the 50s that's like kind of a small version of Sears?
Yeah.
That's what it's like an old classic store.
I never went into Benny's.
Yeah. So if you were like, you know, you can go in and get like winter gloves, you can get like cheap candy, small toys, bicycles, camping gear, that kind of stuff.
All right.
So I worked at a Benny's when I was a senior in high school, and I kind of wish I had more stories that I remember. Mm-hmm. What I remember off the top of my head is like, we worked with some people that we were friends with, like the old bassist of my band, Kevin, my band Senior Discount. He was the founding bassist, and we were friends, and he worked there and I worked there, and they would always just catch us hanging out and talking.
That's funny.
And one time they're like, "That's it." We had a very cartoonish relationship with working there. They're like, you guys can't hang out anymore. Kevin has to work outside. Chuck has to work inside. You can't hang out anymore because all you do is like find a secret place and talk.
Nice.
And then a couple hours go by. The manager's walking around. She walks into this room that has a huge window in the inside and outside. And he was outside there, standing there. And I was inside, standing on the other side of the window. We're hanging out. One time, I remember one time, like a 70-something-year-old man with like serious, you know, brain problems.
Oh boy.
Some kind of disability.
Right.
Came in and I knew him. I don't know why I knew this guy. I just saw him around and he made a lot of crazy faces.
Right.
You know, did a lot of crazy stuff. He just acted, you know, he's out there.
Yeah.
And he went to the bathroom one time and he came out, he left, and they're like, Chuck, you got to take care of this. And I was like, what is it? I went to the bathroom. And there was like 70-year-old special needs diarrhea from floor to ceiling.
Ugh.
On the handles of the faucet.
Ugh.
And it was like diarrhea. This wasn't like a log. This was like,
right.
Let me think of the consistency. Like, yeah, you know, like Panera's like tomato soup.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's little ridges,
and
little chunks of tomato, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Uh-huh. It's a little salty.
Yeah.
It was just like that.
How was the coloration compared to Panera's tomato soup?
A little browner, but similar.
Yeah.
And it was head to toe. I forgot who it was. Like the manager was like, this person has to do it. And that person who was also a stock boy was like, I'm not doing it.
Yep.
This person has to do it. And that person's like, I'm not doing it. This person did it. That person's like, I'm not doing it. Chuck's doing it. And I don't know why, but I'm like, all right, I guess I got to do it then. Yep. But really, if this chain continues, we could just play this cartoon game all day.
Right. You know who did that at my Walgreens? Was me.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't ask anyone to do something that I wouldn't do myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly why I did it.
I'll say it wasn't as bad, but I definitely cleaned up my share of bathrooms.
Yeah. So this one was like covered and this bathroom had no windows. It was inside.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, I'm like, I guess I'll clean it. And like, you know, when you're 17 and stuff like that, you're just a fucking idiot. You don't know anything about shit. You don't know what you're doing.
No.
I still feel like that sometimes.
Yes.
And so I went in, I'm like, oh, I'll bring all my cleaning products. I think I had a little red wagon and a big lollipop and a propeller beanie.
Yep.
Walked in with my little red wagon of all the cleaning stuff. And I'm like, a little of this, a little of that. I didn't know what to use. Yep. And I'm like spraying the bleach all over myself. It's like spraying my eyes a little bit.
You're like, this will protect me.
Yeah. So I spray bleach everywhere because I'm like, this is gross.
Yeah.
Bleach will kill shit. Bleach is supposed to kill anything.
Yeah.
It's got to be able to kill shit. Like, what else is good at killing stuff? Ammonia. I'm spraying the ammonia. I have a beer helmet on and there's two ammonias in it, but I'm using the straws to spray. I'm blowing into one straw and it's going to spraying with the other. Yep. So I have the bleach and ammonia and I'm just covering the bathroom walls and I'm like, ah, genius. I'm a genius all this time. And I have my, you know, my graduation cap on and I'm cleaning, cleaning, scrubbing, scrubbing. I'm like, I can't even smell this shit. And I'm like, oh, I can't even see anything. And I start passing out and I start like getting woozy, getting weird. And I'm like, oh man, I must really have an aversion to shit. And then my eyes turned pink. Like, you know, the white parts of your eyes?
Yes.
They were just pink.
Oh, that's not good. So then I walked out, they're not called the pinks of your eyes.
Then I walked out of the bathroom and I'm like, I cleaned the shit. And I did clean the shit. I did a good job. But they're like, oh God, like they saw my eyes, you know what I mean? And they thought I was basically like Ren from Ren and Stimpy or some kind of pigment challenged person. What's it called?
An albino?
Albino.
Yeah.
But my, you know, I had my brown hair, so how could that be? So I walk and they see me, my manager, and they're like, oh geez, like how did you clean that? And I was like, I mixed ammonia and bleach like any smart person would do. And they're like, ooh, you're not supposed to do that. And you were in the bathroom with no windows, right? And I was like, yeah. And at this point, like blood's like trickling out of my mouth. And they're like, why don't you go lay down in the back? And it was the only, there was nowhere to lay down.
Yep.
It was just like pallets of food and you know, whatever. Not food, mostly other stuff. And I laid down in the back and they're like, yeah, that was really dangerous. You're not supposed to inhale those fumes.
You're not, no.
I remember that story. I know that we used to have these huge pallets of oil, like motor oil.
Right.
So it'd be like six bottles. And I used to take the pallets and basically like build like a recliner and sit in the recliner in the back.
We did that with toilet paper boxes.
Oh, hell yeah. And I remember one time, like every day they'd be like, oh, Chuck, it's 7 p.m. We close at 8. Time to go clean the bathrooms. And I'm like, sweet. And I spit in my hands and I rub it together.
Yep.
And people are like, what is he plotting? And I'm like, no. I'm going to jack off it in 5 seconds. And I was plotting and doing that. Okay. To killing two birds with one stone.
Good, good.
Oh, wait, sorry. PETA says, feeding two birds with one scone. That's what we're supposed to say from now on.
Yes,
you read that?
That's the woke thing, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Went in the back. Every day, take a little time to myself.
Good.
As Brad calls it, I romance myself a little bit.
That was a joke that we came up with in 2008.
Yeah. You said that. You said, I'm not going to romance myself on a Thursday afternoon.
I think so.
You did say that.
I don't remember that exact quote, but it does sound like something I say, something I believe.
So every day I'd relieve myself and then, you know, it's time to clock out.
Yep.
Perfect day.
Wow.
And
that did not happen. Well,
I did get in trouble for it.
Okay.
They were like, why you take so long in the bathroom, and they're kind of like giving me the eye. Yep. Like, we know what you're doing. But one day, one of the people I used to work with was my buddy John.
Okay.
And I was in the bathroom and I'm, you know, hitting the what is it called? What do you think? What's a good one?
Shaking hands with a bishop.
I'm pleasing Mr. Popper's penguins.
Sure. Penguins.
Pleasing. That was just what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
It's not a good synonym. But anyway, so simile. So wait, simile uses like or as. Metaphor. Yeah. Yep. Not a good metaphor.
Okay.
So I get a knock on the door bathroom and I thought it was John.
Right.
And I had this offensive voice that I used to do.
Please don't do it.
I'm not going to say how it was offensive. Yeah. But let's just say that 70-year-old guy from the first story wouldn't like it. So I did my offensive voice. And I was like, I did my voice. I said, someone's in here in that way. And then I heard a girl. And she was like, oh. And I was like, oh, it's a girl. That's weird. And then I came out of the bathroom. And I was like, that's weird. And I looked to my friend John. I'm like, did you knock on the door? And he's like, no. But Jessica Bonvini did. And Jessica Bonvini was the hottest girl in school.
Oh, no.
And I mean, it's weird because I guess, so when I was a freshman or a sophomore, she was the hottest girl in school. You know, every school has like the hottest girl in school.
Yeah.
She was like Jennifer Love Hewitt in Can't Hardly Wait. She was a senior at that time.
Okay.
So I guess when I was a senior, she must have been out of school, but she's still the hottest girl in school.
Right, right.
And she's the one that I did that to.
Ooh.
Jessica Bonvini, no longer with us.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. I feel bad.
Do you link it towards your behavior that day to her not being with us anymore?
She doesn't know what I was doing. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just saying. What if her relatives listen to this?
What if it's your offensive voice?
I don't think it has anything to do with it.
Okay.
I'm sorry that she passed away.
Okay.
You know, a lot of regrets.
Yep.
Yeah, so those, I mean, I remember those two things. I think if I have a journal from high school.
Right.
And I bet if I looked at it, there'd be a lot more. Because I know that, and I won't say who, someone may have purposely vandalized the front of the building. Not me.
Yep.
I know about a thievery operation that was happening inside Benny's. Again, not me. And I know some other stuff. I mean, a lot of the car tag stuff happened back then, starting in the Benny's parking lot,
right,
which is a very dangerous game we used to play.
It's an old episode of the podcast. We talked about car tag.
Oh, yeah. And stock boys. I mean, I spent a lot of time in the back trying to avoid work.
Yeah.
When I was a stock boy. But I'm happy to talk to people and help them out if I can, whatever.
You know, at one point we had Razor scooters for sale for like Christmas or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we had one that we took out of the box that was our demo unit. And I was just riding it around the stock room and I was practicing doing little bunny hops on it. And I was doing great. I was doing great in terms of like, I was getting both wheels of the scooter off the ground.
I don't know if I could do that.
Right. Well, then my boss came back. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can jump it. Let me show you. And he's already mad that I'm goofing around. And so I jump and I land and something went wrong and I flipped over the handlebars, landed flat on my back.
Yes.
And he laughed at me for like, I don't know, 25 minutes.
25 years.
At least.
Yeah.
And
I feel like we played a game in the back one time and I like hit a manager or something. Something bad happened.
Oh, wow.
But there's a lot of stuff I forgot. Damn. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you,
good
man.
Stuff. But yeah, that's Walgreens. You know, I didn't have the balance rewards. I was pre the merger with Boots Alliance. Mm-hmm. I bought stock. I sold it last year. You know, it's weird. I think like we were the CEO of Walgreens was going to be like in our district. Mm-hmm. We didn't know if he was coming to our store, but everyone was like on edge. And I was making signs for like side panels and end caps and stuff. And on one of them, his name was Dan Jornt. Mm-hmm. One of them, like the comment line where you can put like limit one or whatever, I put, hi, Mr. Jornt.
Mm-hmm.
And my manager flipped out on me.
Wow.
He's like, why would you do that? And I'm like, what? It's funny. He'll like it. He's like, no, he won't. And I'm like, well, we won't know until he comes in. And he's like, no, you change it now. And he was furious with me.
I hate shit like that.
And you know, like as I spent more time with the company, I'm like, oh, that's the culture here, is that this is not appreciated. And that was part of why I was like, oh, maybe it's not a great fit for me here.
Yeah, yeah. You need like clown greens where you can be funny all the time.
And, yeah.
You know, I replaced this woman's pain pills with a banana peel. And like that's, you know, that's appreciated.
Hilarious.
We need it.
Yeah.
All right, next email. Thank you, Trent. This is from Richard. Dear gentlemen.
Well, he's off there.
Chuckworth. That's what Chuck is short for, right? Anyway, I digress. I'm from Ohio, but strangely enough, my accent sounds exactly like Chuck's Harry Potter voice. So if you wanted to mimic my accent, this would be a spot-on impression.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Please don't.
Anyway, Chuckworth, Bradbury.
No.
Nah, I'm good. That's enough. I wanted to tell both of you how much I've really enjoyed listening to the podcast as of recent. I came over with Tell 'em Steve Dave and the History of Tell 'em Steve Dave Town podcast and stayed for the Halloween specials and Christmas recaps. Hell yeah. Thank you, Richard. You all are a joy to listen to, and I now consider myself a fan. Couple of questions. One, I've noticed you don't do ads. Any reason why? Two, if you could have one fictional character on as a guest, who would it be?
Hmm.
Let's talk about the ads.
Okay.
We did have ads.
Yes.
And our ads were more regional, because one of the things, let's pull back the curtain. One of the things that we talked about during the podcast.
We spent so much money on this curtain. It keeps getting pulled back.
It's useless. One of the things that we talked about is like, let's not look at our podcast numbers. This is years ago. Let's not look at our downloads or our streams or whatever they are, because A, we don't like to learn how to do stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
And I have to learn a lot of technical stuff. There's not that much more room in my brain for that much technical stuff. And B, we don't want to be, we don't want to be discouraged. So if Brad's like, let's do a podcast on the history of ECW, and we do a podcast and two people listen to it and 100 people listen to all the other episodes, we don't want to have that in our heads of like, oh, well, if we do this episode again or a similar thing, people won't listen. We don't want to be influenced by those numbers.
You know, though, the two people who listen to it, Paul Heyman and Tommy Dreamer.
And we don't want to be influenced in that way to not do something in the future or be pulled away from something. And C, most importantly, we don't want to find out that no one has ever listened to the podcast. Yes, we may have gotten like 12 emails just this week from listeners, but I don't want to find out that they're all just from Brad trying to make me feel better.
Right.
You know, we have no idea how many people listen to the podcast. We never have had an idea. And this answers your question, because since we don't have hard numbers to give anybody, we don't try to get like big ad, you know, sponsors. We don't try to get big ones.
Right.
What we do is, because the podcast is based in Rhode Island, and I have a band here, Brad and I do comedy shows here. Brad does improv shows here. I write for multiple publications in Rhode Island.
Right.
We say, well, we're involved in these different scenes in Rhode Island. Let's find regional sponsors in Rhode Island. So it could be like RI Food Fights, great organization that we're kind of part of and we help out with.
Yeah.
Restaurants over the years, like the Malted Barley in Providence, different ones like that. PV Donuts. And we'll go to those places and they'll sponsor us. But it's just regional because they don't really demand hard numbers about the podcast. They just see all the stuff that we're doing. They see that we're part of a community. And, you know, they kind of look at it as like, oh, we're sponsoring these people to help us get the word out and we're supporting these artists.
Yeah.
I think. So what happened was when Corona, it sucks because we were doing better and better and better with sponsorships.
Yes.
And things are going really well, better than ever. And I even like last January, I made a whole big sponsorship calendar for the year. And I'm like, we can do this. We can fill it up. And I'm making all the slots. I made a great spreadsheet.
It was.
Then coronavirus hit.
Yep.
And the restaurant industry has been hit so hard that we don't feel comfortable asking these restaurants to donate any of their money right now.
Right.
We feel really bad about that. We don't want to say like, hey, you know, all your business is down. Do you want to throw some advertising dollars at this podcast? So we feel really guilty, you know, ifso facto. Now we don't have any sponsors.
Right.
I'd love to have sponsors. We want sponsors.
I think that's a correct use of ipso facto.
Thank you.
Nice work.
Thank you.
What's going to turn my week around.
There you go. But we'd love to, especially because our Wix bill just came in. Our server bill recently came in. The podcast is...
I had to buy all the sourdough.
I just paid $100 for a license for a characterization of Brad that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yep.
That's true. But we'd love to get sponsors. I would like to reach out to bigger places, but I just feel like they might say like, well, why the fuck don't you have your numbers? Like, what's going on? How could you possibly expect this? And I don't want to have a negative interaction.
I have a hilarious behind the curtain story about that.
Oh, do it.
We were trying to get an interview with a band, not important which one, but it's a band that we both love and have both championed numerous times. And I believe you emailed and we got as far as their manager and their manager said, what are your numbers? And you're like, and you gave our phone numbers because
you're like,
oh, I can't say we don't know our numbers. So you just gave our phone number and they never responded.
Yeah.
That was great.
I mean, I think honestly, I've written it out before about why we don't have our numbers and how we believe that the podcast is a creative playground. We don't want to be influenced by an uptick or a downtick in numbers with people we interview or subjects we cover. I think it's fair. I think it's artistically, I think it's noble, but monetarily for people in terms of in business investment, they might look at it as a bad thing.
Right.
So that's why we don't have sponsors right now. I wish we did. Maybe we should just reach out to national sponsors and ask.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you know what? If we get the outgoing president as our third man, maybe we can get the MyPillow guy to sponsor us.
There you go. Write that down.
All right.
Two, if you could have one fictional character on as a guest, who would it be? Fictional character.
Ooh, does character Brad count?
Oh, my impression of Brad?
Yes.
Fuck you.
Yes.
First of all, that would definitely be my answer if that counts. I don't think it does. Fictional character. It'd be weird to have Wolverine on the podcast.
It would be weird. It would be.
Yeah,
that would be strange. But since I was like, what about like Optimus Prime? He'd probably have some cool stories, right?
Yeah, and he probably remembers them real good because he's a robot.
Yeah.
He's a computer in his brain.
Store, yeah, you can just write
fictional character. Who else? You know what would be good?
What's that?
Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh.
That'd be a good one.
You know what? I feel like I'd do something to offend him.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'd have to spend like weeks making it
right. It out. Yeah. He wants to know our numbers.
Yeah.
Who else would be good? Maybe one of the Ninja Turtles would be up there. I bet Donatello would be the best at telling the stories.
April O'Neil.
Oof.
In that yellow jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica Rabbit. Kim Basinger's character from Cool World.
That's funny.
I'd
go Wolverine. Maybe Donatello. Just because the stories would be good.
Right.
I want to know from his perspective.
Oh, okay.
Although Wolverine doesn't have much of a memory, does he?
What about like Shredder? I mean, he's clearly got some ideas.
So in this world, Shredder, the Ninja Turtles villain, is he like, we're going to do a tell-all podcast? Or is he here kind of being like, you know, does he want to do the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a big fan.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, he really enjoys our work.
I feel conflicted.
Oh no!
What if he laughed and it motivated him and put him in a good mood to kill one of the turtles one day?
Oh well, no. He wants to eat turtle soup. That's why he's motivated.
I know, but I think that's just a thing he's saying. I think he actually wants to hurt those turtles.
Oh no!
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
I'd go Wolverine with Donatello and maybe the Larry David from Kirby Enthusiasm.
I gotta say, I guess
in one episode,
yeah, Professor X would be my vote over Wolverine. I feel like he's been around longer and could mm-hmm. kind of give us a higher mm-hmm. view of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of the situation, does he count as a fictional character?
I think he does.
Yeah. There's a lot of them. So I'm going to stick with Professor X just because it's easy to stop there. And that's a good answer.
That's a good answer.
All right. Or Bullwinkle.
Next email. This is from a guy named Grant. The subject line, very, very controversial here. Brad, and then a greater than sign, and then the name Ray Harrington.
Oh, no.
You know what? Why don't you read this one?
All right. Dear Chuck and Brad, ever since the release of the Tesdy Town History episodes, I have been a loyal and rabid listener. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been making my way through your back catalog faster than Chuck can slurp down a Dunkachino.
Mm,
that's fast.
Good reference.
As I delve deeper and deeper into the Chuck and Brad podcast, I realize that I am Chuck, but I aspire to be Brad.
This just pisses me off, but keep going. This email pissed me off so much.
Isn't Brad just great? No. No, he's not. One of the things I love most about Brad is how funny he is. He must be one of the funniest straight men in comedic history. Definitely makes my straight man Hall of Fame, right next to Al Borland from Home Improvement and Luke Wilson in Blue Streak. Mm-hmm. Also, correctly italicized both those titles. So thank you, Grant.
Very well written.
And this may be controversial, but I think Brad is funnier than Ray Harrington. I think Ray knows this and is intimidated by Brad's comedic wit. And I can prove it.
Now, in case you don't know, like I said earlier, Ray Harrington's our buddy who's a comedian. He's an accomplished comedian.
Two albums.
He has
that
two
have
albums
charted.
On stand-up records. They charted on iTunes and Amazon. He had a documentary on Hulu. He was on Conan right before the COVID.
His web series that Chuck edited, Undependent, has won awards. And Ray himself won recently.
Best Male Performer in the London Festival.
Yes.
The London Bullshit Dickhead Festival. He definitely would have won that one.
Ray is super accomplished and super funny.
And this is where Grant is going to prove that
Ray is intimidated by my comedic wit. Episode number 438, Halloween 2019. It's a very good episode. Mm-hmm. Chuck details how he's always wanted to write a Christmas spinoff of the Halloween staple Monster Mash. After Chuck finds out such a Christmas song already exists, he proclaims his hopes to be dashed. There's a beat, a moment of silence, after which Brad chimes in. They were monster dashed.
you love your own jokes.
I do. I don't remember saying that, but that's a funny joke. That's a funny reference.
Funny.
I'm not going to lie to you, Chuck. That one really kicked my dick into the next millennium.
Mm.
This was the hardest I had laughed in a very long time. The comedic timing, so on point, so brilliant, and I think Ray knew it too because he immediately stepped up his game after that joke. And if you listen to the pod, there is a noticeable difference in Ray's tone and energy pre and post Brad's joke. Ray offered up some restrained and muffled laughter as he desperately searched for the next clever topper, which would eventually come by way of his Milky Way midnight action movie bit, but by then it was too late. Brad had been too quick. The wit was too sharp. Ray had been bested. I don't know about you, Chuck, but that's all the proof I need. No disrespect to Ray, very likable and funny gentleman. All I'm saying is that maybe Brad would have been a little better suited for Conan. What say you? Signed, Grant.
Oh, boy. Now, why do you think this email pissed me off?
Because it said nice things about me.
Because he's like, who's funnier on the Chuck and Brad podcast, Brad or Ray? These two are the two comedic giants. And to Grant, I'm a fucking chair in the corner with a goddamn dunce cap on.
You're looking at Monster Mash references.
I've got fucking buck teeth, a tongue hanging out of my mouth. I'm basically walking into a Benny's in the future and diarrhea-ing all over the bathroom.
Oh, it's like Looper.
Why is he? Yeah.
Except.
You know what?
With poop.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly, the joke there writes itself, Grant. Yes. I'm not going to do it.
Yep. You don't want to bring yourself down any points in Grant's book.
No, I don't.
Why does he treat me like I'm a side bitch? Like, what's going on here? I don't understand. Why am I First of all, he's me and he aspires to be you. What does that mean?
I don't know.
What? How could that be?
In my reading of this, Grant's tongue is firmly planted in Grant's cheek.
Yeah, even if so, there's no acknowledgement or mention of my
your hilarity.
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on here? What am I? Okay. Ray hated this email. I read it to him. Oh, no. He basically is, but this is the second Ray email. I mean, I think that Grant was very nice to Brad and pretty nice to Ray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Not nice at all to me, even though he referenced two things I said directly.
I mean, Blue Streak needs Martin Lawrence. You're Martin Lawrence.
I didn't hear anything like that. This guy's saying he's Martin Lawrence because he's him and he aspires to be you.
Al Borland needs Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Tim the Toolman Taylor aspires to be Al Borman. Give me a fucking... I don't want to hear that. I don't think so, Tim. But I was shocked. Ray has gotten two emails recently. The first one was like, Ray Harrington's a dickhead. Someone wrote in and said right. that. And then this one, it was kind of like joking and saying Brad's funnier than Ray.
Right.
But why am I off the table in this equation? Look at that equation. There is a mathematical equation at the subject of this email.
All right.
Greater than Ray Harrington. Where is Chuck's name?
You know what? You're faster at drinking a Dunkachino than I am.
Oh, my God. I don't understand. How is this guy? Here's what I want from you, Grant. How the fuck are you like me? And what do you want to be like Brad instead of that?
Maybe less confrontation. It's weird. I think that comedically, I think I am good at callbacks, like remembering what was said and bringing it back even an hour or an hour and a half later. Mm-hmm. And that's a learned skill through improv.
Yes. And I think that, without cupping each other's balls here, we've been doing podcasts for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I think we know how to structure a show, how to say, we're going from this to this. Let's be clear about this. Let's make this known to the audience. Let's not news anyone. Let's speed it up here. Let's slow it down here. Let's bring this back. Let's come around. We know how to make a show.
Right.
We know how to make a show. We both have that.
Yes.
Okay. So you're just going with stuff that's good about you. But anyway.
I was going to start with stuff that's good about me.
Right.
And the other thing is a compliment that I received when I was 20 years old, over half a lifetime ago, when Jen Duca, another RA at Bradley with me, was like, Brad, you have timing. And yes. I was like, what do you mean?
Totally.
She's like, you just get it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I wanted to make an inside joke about Jen Duca that goes nowhere because you don't know her.
Right.
No, you know, unless she's listening or our friend Angie is listening.
Mm-hmm. Not going to land.
Who's going to know it? So I'm not going to make that joke. But yeah, that landed with me. Like it really, mm-hmm. I internalized that and believed that. Now it's weird because I've received other compliments over the years that I have not internalized, that I have ignored. So Grant's kind words here feel good. But I have long said that Chuck is the funny one on the podcast.
And, I don't think that though.
That Chuck brings the energy and all I have to do is sit here and occasionally respond to it. So
I think I'm the one that's hyperbolic.
Yes.
And also like excited,
yes.
excitable. But I think the comedy part of it to me is equal.
Yeah.
But I'm the person that's like, but Jurassic Park just came out and like, you know, I'm flipping out.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
And you're going into the bathroom at Benny's.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, I think Ray is hilarious.
Oh yeah. Ray's the best.
I don't think that I'm funnier than Ray. I'll take that joke. Put it on my tombstone.
Right.
Put my monster dashed mm-hmm. on the tombstone. But you know, on the whole, Ray Harrington greater than Brad,
yeah.
comedically.
And I'm just a piece of shit.
I'm
roadkill on the road.
Yes,
I'm a skunk.
You're not even in the road.
A
you're
garbage
roadkill.
Man should come and just scoop me up and throw me in the fucking trash compactor.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come back like Shredder after he went in the garbage compactor.
I thought
my helmet's gonna
went
be
down
crushed.
The sewer.
No. Do you remember Ninja Turtles 1?
Yeah, I thought his helmet was crushed, and I thought he slid into the sewer.
I mean, I don't know how he got out.
Yeah,
you made that up in your mind.
I did.
You're a good creative boy.
Yeah,
but I don't know how he got out. He still had the helmet in the second one too.
Yeah, it's weird.
Backup helmet. Babies. Oh, remember that?
Oh, Token Razor? I do. You made me watch it last week.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Grant.
I'm going to move away from this.
I appreciate the kind words for me.
I'm going to move away from this open wound and move on to the next email.
All right.
From Ryan. He says, new listener is a subject. Hey, Chuck and Brad, I'm Ryan from Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne.
Big time TESD ant, and started listening to you guys when you did the interviews with the TSD guys. How much money do we owe Tom, Steve, Dave for bringing people into our podcast? I wonder.
You do their videos.
Yeah, so. It's equal. Just want to say love the show and you guys are great. Chuck, I've been a fan of Senior Discount, my band.
Oh, what about my band?
You don't have a band.
Pasty Brad and the Copper Tones.
For a few years now, but I had no idea you had a podcast. Probably would have jumped on earlier. Hope you can bring the band out to Australia one day, maybe to good things or download festivals. I wonder how he knew about my band. You think it's also from Tell 'em Steve Dave?
Yeah, because you guys closed out, your Christmas medley was on an episode, right?
Christmas medley was.
And then you talked about it on the
when first, I was on the podcast?
Yeah.
When I was on Tell 'em Steve Dave?
You were like, hey guys, let me tell you about my enema.
Yes, there was that. And then also Afterlife, our song, opened the Gramercy.
Ah, okay.
There's a bunch of Tell 'em Steve Dave on, a bunch of Senior Discount on Tell 'em Steve Dave, so maybe that's how.
Nice.
Really enjoy all you guys talk about and how you can just jump in at any episode and feel like you've been listening for years. See? Thank you, Ryan. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
We can bring people in and make them feel welcome. I would love to see you guys watch and talk about all the Fast and Furious movies one day. I don't think you've done this. Now, let's talk about this.
Yes.
At some point, I think we talked about Fast and Furious 1-5.
Yeah.
But it was kind of not in a super thorough way we do now with the way we did Texas Chainsaw. I'd love to do that again.
Oh my goodness.
We got to find the right person to explain all the stuff to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd love to do that though.
As would I. I just to have a reason to rewatch them.
Oh, I love them. And I thought it'd be awesome if you can get Walt Flanagan in and go through the Universal Monster films or King Kong filmography with him. Would be amazing. Also, love listening to the episode where you went to see Cokie the Clown. Have a great detailed description of the show and listening to the album. Kind of felt like I was there. As I'm sure Fat Mike will never bring that down under, as great as that would be. Anyways, love the podcast. You guys are great and working my way through your back catalog and loving it. Cheers, Ryan.
Thank you,
Ryan. Another Australian listener. Thank you, Ryan.
Melbourne.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for the positivity. It's a feather in my cap after the verbal beating I received from Grant.
Oh, really? Because I have two feathers in my cap now.
Yeah. Brad can barely hold his fucking head up. I'd love for Senior Discount to tour. I would love... I'd love to have Walt on for a Universal thing like that. Walt is a busy guy. He's doing podcasts all the time because basically you got to estimate that Walt probably does around 90 a year with Tell 'em Steve Dave. And so it's hard to get him to do more on top of that. But I'd love to have Walt on again. I mean, you know, I feel comfortable with Walt now, but I still feel like I don't want to bother him.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'll be like, you know, if I want to float him an idea, I'll be like, you know, this is just a gentle suggestion. No big deal. If not, but I'd love
get
to have
rid
one.
Of get him.
Never.
Oh,
never. Don't you speak ill of get him. But I'd love to have Walt on the podcast to talk movies. It'd be tough to do, but I'd love to do it. And Cokie the Clown. I mean, I'm surprised. I know it's kind of like a novelty thing, Fat Mike doing his solo Cokie the Clown performances. They might go to Australia one day.
Who knows?
But I'm glad you enjoyed it because that was quite a trip. That was fun.
Yeah.
We had fun in Brooklyn. Greetings from Jersey. Next email from Anthony. Oh, wait. Hey, Chuck and Brad. I've been meaning to write in for a while now. I'm currently listening and writing this on a treadmill, so I might give off the impression my heart rate is up. I came on board with the TESD episodes. I just want to say I thought you captured the essence of TESD perfectly. Like many others, it was the back and forth between you two after the interview that has me coming back. Just want to say thanks for the laugh so far. It's been tough on all of us. You remind me of Kevin and Scott on Smodcast.
Wow.
Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier.
You're both of those. I am garbage on Smodcast.
Did you see Wonder Woman 84? Thoughts? I'm a big fan of comics, not just superheroes, but the actual medium. Was wondering if you guys ever got into them. Chuck, you mentioned you had some long boxes. How about you, Brad? And what are some of your favorite series and runs, etc.? Thanks, Anthony. Thank you, Anthony. Love Smodcast. Smodcast is probably the main influence for us to start a podcast when we started it.
Yeah, we went to see them live at a theater in
Count
Jersey.
Basie?
Yeah, and they signed. I don't remember which book.
TV's Joey.
Yeah.
It was
the book that
was
transcripts of the podcast. I couldn't remember the word transcript.
I don't know if it was it transcripts
or was it
Kevin Smith's diary with him on the front?
Oh, my boring ass life.
My boring ass life.
I don't remember. I thought it was the transcripts of the podcast.
So we went to a live Smodcast, maybe the second one ever or the third one ever. And afterwards, we stayed and we had one of the, you know, I had, I think it was My Boring Ass Life, Kevin's book.
Okay.
And we met them to, you know, to get stuff signed because everyone who went had a VIP.
We waited in line for hours.
Yeah, I know. I don't even like really waiting in line to meet people. I just...
It was because I was adamant about it. And then your then girlfriend,
Alyssa
was with us.
Yes. And I had the book and I asked Kevin to sign it from TV's Joey, Kevin Smith, as a joke, because Joey was a short run show that I actually really liked and he was on it. And so I appreciate that compliment a lot. Did you guys see Wonder Woman 84? I didn't watch it yet. I want to watch it though. I want to give it a shot. I want to be fair.
Yeah, I have heard mixed reviews on it. I almost watched it last night. I'm working my way through Avatar The Last Airbender as a series. Mm-hmm. I have, I think, 10 or 12 episodes left to go.
Yeah.
And then I will, you know, be more about movies. And then, I, you know, hopefully once work is less terrible,
yeah,
I'll be able to watch like The Mandalorian at work,
right,
and kind of catch up on all these other huge pop culture things that I have missed.
Right. I'm a big fan of comics. But we'll talk about Wonder Woman as soon as we see it.
Yeah,
sure. I'm a big fan of comics, not just superheroes, the actual medium. So for me, my whole thing was basically that I loved comic book characters when I was young. And I think growing up, I've realized I really cared more about the art than the stories, because I didn't really read comics when I was young. I just liked Spider-Man. I liked Wolverine. I liked the game Maximum Carnage for the SNES. So I loved superheroes. Then around 2009, 2010, I believe, is when Old Man Logan came out.
Right.
Which is a story where, like, you know, it takes place way in the future. The villains, the Marvel villains have taken over the U.S. All the heroes are dead, or the majority of the heroes are dead. Wolverine's still alive. He refuses to fight. The Hulk is a bad guy. You know, the Venom symbiote had taken over a T-Rex. It was all these things where they took the whole world of Marvel and mashed it together and, like, created this alternate universe. And I didn't even know they did stories like that at the time. So when it came out, I saw something. I saw like a review on G4. And I was like, that sounds amazing. And I got that book. And also maybe like right before that, I had got into Marvel Zombies, which I also thought that was awesome. And those two things got me way back into comics. And for years, I was reading the current stuff from Marvel. So I read like the Secret Wars that came out. And I read a lot of... Secret Invasion and the Dark Avengers stuff with Norman Osborn. There's a book called Incognito that's like a short run that I love. And it's like an independent one. There was a lot of stuff that I really liked from that time period between 2010, 2000, like let's call it 15-ish. And I collected probably like 600 books total. That's how much I have. I have three long boxes of like 600 books total. A lot of older Venom stuff, all the Marvel Zombie stuff, all the Old Man Logan stuff, and a lot of the current stuff from that time period. And then some of the older runs I would just read randomly. There was a story called Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine where they went back through time and they went back to their origins. I loved that story.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both read an X-Force story called The Apocalypse Solution,
yep,
where they had to kill him as a kid.
Yep.
And I thought that story was awesome. I read a lot of Deadpool. There's a lot of stuff that I like, but I just kind of fell out of it. All the newer Batman stuff was so good. And what happened was the more I started working for myself, doing like video work and podcast stuff and whatever, the less I did things that were like solo leisure things. So I stopped reading comics, I stopped reading books, I stopped playing video games. All that stuff slowed down for me a lot the more that I did work at home. And I'd love to find a way to get back into it, but it's been really tough. So I love comic books. I'd love to stay on top of it. I read a lot of old stuff. There's a story called Marvel 1985 that I love. Mm-hmm. I like the original Secret Wars a lot, the first one, as well as the later one. At one point I just had like... I love the Batman's Long Halloween.
Right. That was on, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of other ones I bet I could remember if I just kind of look through for a little bit. But I lost all my books in a house fire in 2015, right. So I don't have any physical... I should say this. I have my comic books, my single issues.
Right.
But all my actual books and trade paperbacks and all that stuff that got destroyed. But at some point, I had a big list of all the stuff I wanted to read, and I was going through it. And I read a bunch of the stuff that I mentioned, and I'd love to continue, but it's just it's tough to find the time.
Briefly, Sunday, September 27th, 2009, at the Two River Theater in Red Bank, New Jersey. It was the Smodcast book.
It was the Smodcast book. Okay.
Yeah. And we went, and that was also hilariously, I was having all kinds of stomach trouble at the time. We stopped at IHOP, you know, in the wee hours of the morning for food, and I was going to the bathroom to throw up after eating just because my stomach was so bad. And and Chuck yelled across the restaurant, "Brad, no, you're beautiful just the way you are."
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. Chuck is the funny one.
He makes the best bulimia jokes.
Yes. Comics for me, I didn't get into them until way later. My friend Chad, classy Chad Kafka, in college was still into, like, I say still into, like he is still into superhero comics. And so he was like, you should read the Civil War comics eventually.
I read Civil War. I love Civil War.
Yeah.
You know what? Civil War was so big that I actually read a bunch of it when it came out randomly.
Right.
And I just enjoyed it.
I waited for the trade, you know, it was probably 2007, 2008 when I read.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
They probably released like 15 trade paperbacks.
Right.
So that's what I read too, but I would read like Wolverine's story.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's story, Captain America's story, which is the death of Captain America.
Yep. And then really it more when I moved into this apartment and kind of became better friends with you, mm-hmm. it was, you know, The Widening Gyre, Long Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Widening Gyre is awesome.
Yeah. And then things like the Simpsons Futurama crossover crisis or crisis crossover, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
But Bone, that, you know, I guess it's a comic, but I don't think there were ever individual issues of Bone. I just have like the massive paperback version of that. You know, I have an issue or two of Wraith based on Nosferatu. Mm-hmm. And that's more my love for Joe Hill than anything. I guess for me, I read all the Fables and all the Jack of Fables, but they were all electronic. And so I never got books. I don't have anything bagged and boarded except maybe the Incognito books that Chuck got for me for my birthday or Christmas or something. The Brubaker and Phillips Incognito books.
Yes.
And yeah, I think I got a Danger Girl somewhere in there. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. But for me, the comics I read were comic strips. So Foxtrot, Calvin and Hobbes, and Pearls Before Swine and Get Fuzzy. So not the same, but in a sense of a visual storytelling medium, that's the best I can do for you, my friend.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got for this email. Got plenty more for the rest of the episode.
Yes. If I had more time, I should have thought about this ahead of time because I didn't realize I'd hit a wall, but there's a lot more stuff that I like that I'm not thinking of right now just because I haven't been able to read.
Yeah.
It's weird in a way, and like looking back at the house fire, which happened in fall of 2015,
yep.
It really scattered a lot of things for me. And I never even thought about the fact that I think that's when I stopped reading comic books.
Interesting.
You know?
That makes sense.
I'm realizing it now. So here's my question. We're 1 hour in. Do we continue with all the listener emails? Or do we go to like some regular topics?
If we don't have anything scheduled next week, let's go to regular topics. And then next week we'll hit the listener emails, the remaining listener emails, mm-hmm. and more topics.
Yes.
So I don't know what we have scheduled for next week. Oh, we're supposed to speak at the inauguration. We were just going to use that as a podcast.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's yeah.
Right. It's going to be tough for our third.
Thank you. Yeah, let's go into some regular stuff, and we will get to the rest of
I'm so excited to not be president anymore. I'm jizzing all over the place.
We have an email from Daniel T. We have a second email from Daniel T. about something that I haven't even read yet. We have an email from Little Jack Films, and actually, that's it for now.
Yeah.
So as soon as, next week we'll read those.
Those were fun emails.
Yeah, they're fun emails. And the ones we got today, very fun. I appreciate that. All right, so what do you want to talk about? I mean, I had a bunch of stuff, which is most of it's not super timely.
You know,
but there is one big thing that's timely.
Tell me about it.
Well, a lot of people know Jane Silent Bob's Secret Stash, the comic book store in Red Bank, New Jersey. That is the home of Tell 'Em Steve Dave. It's Kevin Smith's comic book store. It was the home of the Comic Book Men on AMC. It's where I do the vast majority of my film projects.
Right.
It closed.
Yeah.
35 Broad Street.
Prostitution sting.
Yeah, it was a prostitution sting. It was under the table, under the poker table in the back.
Yep. I mean, that, yeah, just, it was just hand stuff.
Yeah, right, right.
So you'd sit at the table.
Yep.
Something would happen underneath.
You'd slide over a Sacagawea coin. So,
just $1?
I don't remember how much it was worth. I don't know. But they're moving up the street to 65 Broad Street.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's bittersweet because, you know, as much as it's like, we're losing this, you know, the home of this place for, it's been there for 22 years, I believe.
Yeah.
As much as that's the case, you know, we're going to a new home.
Yeah.
That's, that I think is going to be even better going forward. For all the Tell 'em Steve Dave stuff, for Kevin's store, for all the stuff.
Right.
So it's bittersweet because we're moving up the street. We're moving to 65 Broad Street. It's only one block up from the old store.
Right.
So, you know, the surroundings are the same. It's a, you know, it's obviously the same street. I think we're moving into a bigger space overall, especially with the basement and everything. Has a lot more storage. I think the room will be bigger. You know, TSD, we have our own room now.
Right.
To do film projects and audio projects and stuff. So I think overall, it's going to be an even better experience for people who are fans of Kevin, fans of Tell 'em Steve Dave, and for filming projects and stuff. However, you know, there's something to be said about the room that existed for 22 years that so many people know so well.
Right.
With the big red walls and the blue and the yellow and all that stuff. Yeah, so it was kind of sad. Yeah, there's something to be said about the old store. And I went up and... It's really been weird. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how much I should put out in public. But basically, I mean, I'll just say this. When the Stash was announced to be closing, you know, I figured we would do it. You know, we're always looking for more video content for Tell 'em Steve Dave.
Yeah.
You know, the Patreon demands basically a video project just about every week. And I figured we would do one about the Stash closing because A, it's a big, important change, and it's, you know, big enough to warrant a video. And B, it's another week of content that fits into what we do. So when I think the first date they were supposed to close was like December 26th or 27th, and the plan was for me to go up on the 26th and shoot the 27th.
Right.
Last minute, it got canceled, and I didn't go up because they, you know, they weren't ready to move yet. And it was a couple weeks later. So Walt told me, you know, but the thing is, at some point, a couple times almost, Walt, who is like the head of Tell 'em Steve Dave's, you know, film projects and the Patreon stuff, was kind of like, I don't know if we should film it. That's going to be too much work. I don't think we should film it. Like he kept kind of going back and forth and being like, let's not film it.
Huh.
And that was like early on.
Yeah.
I remember we did a big, you know, we had a big talk about it months ago. This is way before it was like known. And I remember one day we were filming, he's like, nah, he's like, don't worry about it. We shouldn't film it. And I was like, okay. And it was kind of weird. Then a couple days later, he's like, so what do you think? Should we film it? And I said, I think it's a big mistake not to film it. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. I said, I think we'll regret it is what he said.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay. And I felt like I kind of had to push a little bit to make sure that I could go up and film the last day at the store.
Right.
So I went up, we filmed the last day at the store. That's going to come out in a couple of weeks on the Tell 'em Steve Dave Patreon. And this is about what, a week ago?
Yeah.
What day did I leave? Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah, I left Sunday last week, which was, I don't know, the 10th. And I was like, oh, I'm going to film that day. And I was, you know, I said, I'm like, I'll just stick around and help you guys move this week.
Right. Lift a box.
Yeah.
Bag a board.
And so what I did was I went up, we filmed all day that Monday, which was the last day the store was open. Me, Walt, Mike, and Getem, that's going to come out on the Patreon in a couple weeks, like I said.
Nice.
They were like, well, the floors aren't going to be done for a couple of days. So you know, I stuck around for about a day, just me and Gina hanging out. And this is the reason I'm bringing this part up is because we went to a place called Mogo's, I think.
Okay.
In I don't know what town it was.
New Jersey.
It was in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it was funny. We went to a sushi place and right next to it was Mogo's. We went to a sushi place. They go, it's going to be a half an hour wait. We walked to Mogo's and I'm like, oh man, this place is, it was Japanese. What was it? It was a fusion restaurant of like tacos.
Okay.
Like Mexican, Japanese, something like that. And I was like, oh, I'd love to try one of these tacos. And they had a spicy shrimp taco. Went in. I was like, they were really cheap, which means like, you know, they were small. They weren't like cheap. They were like a couple bucks for a small taco.
So a Korean fusion place?
Yeah, that sounds
in
right.
Asbury Park?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Okay. Yes. And I was like, I'm just going to get one taco while I wait. And I got one spicy shrimp taco and they were so good. And I kind of wish we went to Mogo's for dinner instead of the sushi place.
Yep.
Because we kind of had a weird experience at the sushi place, but whatever. Not funny, not fun, not podcast worthy. Just like you have to wait a half hour. Then we go back and they're like, you have to wait another 25 minutes. And we wait 45 minutes and they're like, oh, the table's not ready yet. It's just a lot.
Yeah.
Just wanted to give a shout out to Mogo's. They were delicious.
It's eatmogo.com.
And I wanted to tell you this. This is funny. So this happened around this time, around this day. You know, when I'm in Jersey, we're just kind of going to different restaurants and doing stuff like that. And I went to a restaurant. I'm looking for this picture right now. I went to a restaurant and they had a kids menu. And tell me how fucking lazy this is. You ready?
I hope so.
So this is like an independent place.
Honestly, you were sending me topics during the week and you'd put lazy kids menu at weird restaurant. And I cannot wait to hear this. I've been on tenterhooks all week.
So how lazy is this? So it was an independent place. Let's call it a pizza place. It wasn't a pizza place, but that's basically what it is. Yep. Instead of a kids menu, they have a part that says Disney menu, right?
Yeah, okay.
And it has a little picture of Mickey Mouse.
Good.
First thing on the menu, the Big Bird. it's a single egg any style.
Okay.
And I love that because right away, that's not Disney.
It's not Disney.
I love that. Yep. Next thing was Mickey Mouse pancakes. Now, here's the thing.
I'm on board there.
That should have been first.
Yep.
Because that's the entire reason they call it Disney menu.
Yep.
Easily.
Yep.
From the point of view of someone who's making this menu, that's why they made the Disney menu.
Should be first.
Mickey Mouse pancakes. Next thing, the mini cheese omelet. So shitty.
Stretching, yeah.
Next thing is a half waffle. You know what it's called? Man on the Moon. What the fuck's going on here?
Is that an Andy Kaufman reference?
Next one, Spaceship, and it's a grilled cheese with french fries. They don't even, not only do they not correspond to Disney. It's not
like Spaceship Cheese.
They don't even correspond to the items.
Oh.
The next thing is just called Tigger. It's chicken fingers with french fries.
That makes more sense as the Big Bird.
Well, no, wait, Big Bird is one egg.
Yeah, one egg.
What you're saying because it's Disney?
Because it's chicken fingers. Chicken fingers is a bird. Chicken
you're saying the Big Bird would have been better for that.
Yeah.
That would have been sad.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the Humpty Dumpty is your single egg.
Well, that's not Disney either.
You
guys are all lazy. Tigger is Disney, at least. Next thing is Goofy, and it's just a burger with fries. It just says Goofy. Final thing, hot dog with french fries.
No clever name.
No name.
It's the laziest Pluto shit dog. Yeah. Also, doesn't the Goofy make more sense as the hot dog?
Everything.
Mickey makes Mouse more pancakes sense than, works.
Right.
Mickey everything Mouse
pancakes,
else,
that's all they got.
I disagree with.
It's so funny. It's so lazy. It seems like they wrote it in 2 seconds. They're like, this isn't a Disney character. Man on the Moon and Spaceship. Where did that come from? So fucking bizarre. But anyway, yeah, so for the next 3 days, we just kind of moved the stash over.
Yeah.
It was basically Walt and Mike get them.
You know, I do have a question, though. Before you left, you asked me for 6 Sacagawea coins.
Yeah. Yeah, it was basically like Walt, Mike, get them, me, 2 guys they hired, cousin Johnny from the VSQ offices. And we just kind of moved stuff over. And it's funny because it was so close that some stuff is like, oh, let's put this in the back of, you know, my SUV, like we you right. know, I boxed a bunch of comics, like the whole middle row. I boxed that entire thing myself. Wow. And I put them all in my SUV. We moved them over. But for some stuff, it made more sense not to load it up into a truck.
Right.
Like it's like we have it on wheels. We have it outside the store. We could see the storefront from the other place. Let's just wheel it over. So, yeah, we basically, you know, the first day, you know, we did a lot of cleaning out of the basement and moving like smaller things and stuff like that. Second day was a lot of the boxing the comics and getting the comics over, all of the big, huge bins, all the furniture. They're taking all the furniture.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was a second day. And then like kind of the final day, and also the second day was like throwing the stuff in the dumpster. The final day was more like just making sure everything's over there, doing the VSQ office stuff that's going over or whatever. Yeah, and so it was fun. It was a good time. I don't mind moving that much. I don't mind like a task, and like I could tell that Walt was like, "Don't worry about it. You can go home. Don't worry about helping." Because I think he's like, he doesn't want me to feel like I'm on the hook to help. Right. But I told him, I'm like, you know, like this is kind of like this is my creative home in terms of the projects we do.
Right.
So the idea of like being part of the move and being part of the thing is important to me, and I want to, you know, help that out and be a team player and help out with the move. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This,
many hands make light work.
That's true.
That's how I think of it. So it was a good week doing that stuff, and I was in the hotel and I was working on the next Patreon project, and playing Tony Hawk in my hotel room. Gina came down for half of it.
Yeah.
Then we rented a car and she came home for $30.
Wow, that's a great deal.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
From Hertz, she got the car. It was $30. She drove it to Rhode Island, and that was it. But I will say they were kind of a pain in the ass because I booked it online through Priceline.
Okay.
And it's like, how are you paying for it? And I put credit card. And I put my credit card. It's like, who's driving it? I told them. They're like, all right, it's $30. I went there that day. They're like, yeah, a different person can't pay for it than is driving it. And Gina's like, oh, I got rid of my credit cards because I didn't want to have credit cards.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do we do? And she's like, you have to rent it and add her as an additional driver.
Wow. That's
and I'm weird. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And they did. I think they took it off because they only charged me the original amount that they said okay. They were going to charge me. So I don't know what happened, but pretty good. But yeah, it was a good week. I mean, it was sad. The last day was kind of sad.
Yeah.
When we shot, especially the way I shot stuff, I really did it on purpose to capture some of the changes and how things are different. And yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a heavy video.
Are you going to use "Good Riddance, Time of Your Life" at the end? At the end.
I already know what song I'm going to use at the end, and it's much less obvious.
Ah, okay.
And plus, I already used that for the Frank Five
one. Ah, that's right. That's right.
But we did that. And then, side note, this was fun for me. I got to host a show for Patreon.
Nice.
Walt and I hosted Tell 'em Steve Dave, a TESD video tidbits episode. The first episode of it was Walt and I talking about the filming of some videos, throwing to some never-before-seen clips and stuff like that. And that was really fun. I would like to be more involved in the on-camera stuff.
Right.
But, you know, only if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm not pushing for it. I just, if it happens naturally, I'd love to be part of it. And it was a good week. It was a good week. And then Friday, Brian was like, oh, do you want to come to Tell 'em Steve Dave tonight? We're going to do the final Tell 'em Steve Dave. And I feel weird because Q is so concerned with coronavirus.
Right.
That I didn't want to just show up and be like a, you know.
Another body
in the room to make him uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't want to go because I don't want to make Q uncomfortable. So I head back. But now I kind of wish I did go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I kind of wish I was there for the last one. But that's all right. I didn't want to make him uncomfortable. But yeah, so it was a good week. I think it was a really positive week. It's cool to see the store being built. Oh yeah, and then on Friday, for Kevin, I filmed something.
Right.
Which is going to come out. I'm guessing it's either going to come out on Kevin's YouTube, Kevin Smith's YouTube, or maybe his website. But I filmed something with Ernie O'Donnell and a couple of people. Nice. I don't know if I'm supposed to say what it is.
That's right.
But it's coming out soon. It's part of the Stash Move, you know. And so that'll be out really soon. You know, I hung out with Ming and Christian at a shared universe at the Bell Works, which is kind of like, that's a cool place in my journey now.
Okay.
Because that's where the first time I worked for Kevin.
Yes.
Was in the parking lot for the drive-in show. So it was just a fun week of just a lot of productivity, I think.
Nice.
So it was a good time.
Well, good. I'm glad it went well. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you made it back safely.
Yes. Now I'm in the middle of a project that's one of the, a very difficult project for the Patreon, for the Tell 'em Steve Dave Patreon. And it's Sunday at the Stash, which was the first Sunday back from coronavirus.
Oh, okay.
And it's just difficult. It's basically like a Comic Book Man episode.
Right.
Except we shot it without lights. It was 90% just my camera. And right. Victor helped out, the guy who helps out for video projects in Jersey. He had a GoPro for some of it. I put up a GoPro on the wall. And just kind of... making it as perfect as possible has been really challenging, but it's going to come out really funny, I think.
Nice.
And really fun. But yeah, it was a good week. It was a fun week. Yeah, let me see. What else? Should we tackle anything else? I don't know if I want to get into other stuff right now because I feel like I don't want to start a story an hour and 25 minutes in.
Right.
But how about this? Let's talk about WandaVision. Can we talk about WandaVision?
I don't know if we can keep this in the time we have remaining on your on this SD card, but let's try.
I think we can.
WandaVision, for those of you who don't know, is a series on Disney Plus that ties into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It concerns Wanda Maximoff, aka Scarlet Witch,
yes,
played by Elizabeth Olsen,
yes,
and Vision, the Synthezoid. I think that's what he is.
Okay, he's like a cyborg.
Yeah, almost. A little bit. Played by Paul Bettany?
Paul Bettany.
And
it's the first project that has come out from Marvel since Spider-Man Far From Home.
Right, because Black Widow didn't come out.
Because Black Widow didn't come out this summer and stuff like that. So it's been like a long time. And it's the first time we've seen these characters since Endgame.
Right.
In fact, it's the first time we've seen these characters, seen Scarlet Witch since Endgame, and maybe seen Vision since
Infinity War.
Since Infinity War, which is...
He might have briefly been
3 years ago? Is that possible?
Yeah, I guess. I guess it is.
Wow.
And the show itself is in the style of previous decade sitcoms. Like the pilot episode was in the...
4 years ago.
What was it? And 3 years for
Endgame? Hold on. It's 2021.
Barely, yes.
2020 was coronavirus.
Yep.
2019 was Endgame? No, 2019 was Spider-Man. No, Spider-Man and Endgame came out the same summer.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So it was 3 years.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. Sorry.
It's all right. Episode one in the style of a 50s sitcom.
Well, let's kind of talk about it. So Vision
right.
and Wanda are in a relationship.
Right.
Vision dies
yes.
in Infinity War, right. Avengers Infinity War, which happened a couple years ago. And going into this movie, into WandaVision, the TV show, I should say, Vision should be dead, yep. canonically. That's right.
Yes.
And Wanda is just alive, I guess, in, 2020 or whatever, yep. 2020 or 2021, whatever it is. But the show begins as a 1950s sitcom a la Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
Who was a consultant on the first episode.
Yep.
And Vision is alive, and they're doing a traditional three-camera sitcom from the 50s.
Right.
It's funny, I want to say laugh track, but it's not a laugh track. It was actually filmed in front of a live studio audience.
I did not know that.
Really?
That's interesting.
First episode filmed in front of a live studio audience.
That's great.
It's all in black and white. It has corny jokes. And the idea is basically, we knew going into the show that you were going to get, basically the trailers kind of revealed it's going to be in the style of sitcoms throughout the decade. So you're going to get something like Brady Bunch. You're going to get something like I Love Lucy or Dick Van Dyke. You're going to get something like Roseanne.
Or Bewitched.
Bewitched.
Yep.
And but you didn't really know what the deal was with the show. And what I'm postulating is that Wanda, Scarlet Witch, has had some sort of mental break after Vision died. And she's created like a false reality. And there's a million theories out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even in the trailers, it does show like a big ball of energy.
Right.
As if this is all happening inside that big ball.
Right.
But basically, it's these Marvel superheroes completely taken out of the superhero element, put into a traditional sitcom element. And I think every episode is going to be a tribute to a different sitcom.
Right.
So the first two have come out. First one was Dick Van Dyke Show. Second one was Bewitched.
Yes.
They hired the team that wrote the music for Frozen, and that's the team that writes the music for this. And going into the show, and it's funny because I want to say spoiler alert, but there's not much to spoil.
No.
There's nothing to spoil yet.
Yeah, it's
we're only two episodes in.
It's normal sitcom episodes, and there are drips and drabs, maybe even just drips.
Right.
Driplets and drablets.
Right.
Of things hinting at the overall story.
Yes.
For the course of the series. So
yes.
It's enough to whet your appetite, mm-hmm. but not so much that we could really spoil anything
right.
definitively
right.
because we don't know what's going on.
Well, I was going to say, so basically I expected that with episode one and two, we were going to have a certain amount of like, here's what's happening or yep. leaking into it or kind of giving you a little idea, but it's really like giving you almost nothing.
Yeah. Episode one, there's some dialogue that you're like, oh, okay. Like, and I think going into it, you know that something isn't right.
Something isn't right. Why are we seeing these characters in a 50s sitcom?
Right.
Yeah.
But that's all you really know in episode one.
Yeah.
And then episode two, there's some object work
mm-hmm.
And some use of color that hints at, greater mysteries.
Well, so it's interesting. I mean, I'll just say this. Even though they kind of gave away much less than I expected, we still don't know anything about what's going on.
Right.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I enjoyed both episodes. So the first episode is the trope-filled, my boss is coming to dinner and the big promotion is riding on it.
So good.
And, and everything goes wrong.
Yep.
And then the second episode is we're taking part in something for the town.
Yep.
And things go wrong.
Yes. And it's funny, like Vision... He says things in the episode that are kind of like jokes,
yeah.
but they lead you into, he's kind of seeing that this reality isn't right.
Right. He keeps like, questioning what they do at his work.
His job, and everyone's laughing and stuff like that. And there's a couple of creepy moments. Like there's a moment where, you know, it's the mom from that 70s show as right. the boss's wife.
Right.
And he starts choking. And she never
starts choking. Yeah.
The boss starts choking. Sorry. And she never stops laughing
yeah.
as he's choking, even when he falls on the ground.
Yeah.
And Wanda turns to Vision and says, "Vision, save him."
Yeah.
And like, you know, he helps him. The wife never stops choking, never stops laughing.
She keeps saying, "Stop it. Yes, stop it." And right. it gets progressively
but she keeps laughing.
Right.
But she keeps laughing yeah. during it. By the way, she's at the talent show in the second episode and the boss is gone.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And there's some theories that if you look, when the boss is eating and he says, "Where'd you come from? Answer the question." She nods her head like that, and that's when he starts choking.
Oh.
And they're wondering if she killed him out of the show.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so all we have so far is this obviously fake or fictionalized, somewhat constructed reality, and we don't know why they're there. We don't know who's in charge of it. We don't know what's going on at all. And at the end of every episode, you get like a little tease of someone's watching this on a monitor
right.
in the real world and not in the 50s world. And man, I just love it. I think it's awesome. I yeah. think it's so exciting. Like it's the type of thing where I would watch the same episode like three times.
Yeah.
You know?
I watched some like Easter eggs. Like mm-hmm. what did I miss? And mm-hmm. I got to say, I caught all the Easter eggs they showed me in their 14-minute video.
Yeah. Well, what about that one about her nodding? Well, and
yeah, there were other ones that I'm like, oh, I just don't have time to watch these right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so maybe if I had watched them, I would have caught those or, you know, learned yeah. about those. But yeah, that's really interesting. I, you know, it's as a Marvel fan, you know, it's must-see viewing.
I think that, you know, honestly, people talk about superhero fatigue. I think for years, they've gotten to just continue telling good stories and new stories and different ideas and stuff like that.
Right.
Even Endgame to Spider-Man Far From Home. I think Endgame is like the huge finale of the story.
Yeah.
Far From Home is like, what are these explosions? What are visual effects? Are they important? Like it's really playing with the reality of what that stuff is.
Right.
And the idea of a hero and how do you construct a hero?
Yep.
But this, it feels like they're like, listen, we don't want to tell a superhero story every time. We want to keep these characters vibrant. We have great writers. We have a great team. We have great ideas and great rich histories. If we want to keep that going and keep people interested, we have to go in fucking bonkers directions and just take big leaps of faith with bold storytelling. And that's what they're doing with this.
Was there at some point, and maybe I'm misremembering this, it was going to be a DC, like a network sitcom that was based at an insurance company
yes.
in the DC universe. Yes. Did that ever get made?
I thought one episode aired and then they canceled it or something right. like that. It's called something.
Yeah, I love the idea of, I guess, non-super stories set in the super universe. Because
yes.
how does knowing that these characters, aliens and mm-hmm. gods and, mm-hmm. you know, Iron, like, how does knowing those characters exist affect, like, a high
regular
school
life.
Kid
yeah.
in Petaluma, is it California?
Yeah.
Wherever Petaluma is. How does that affect, you know, people in Melbourne
yes.
knowing that Captain America is protecting the world?
Well, that's why I think the Spider-Man movies are great because so much of that is ground level.
Right.
And I think with the Falcon and Winter Soldier show, we're going to see even more of that stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I just think it's a bonkers, bold direction. And unfortunately, I don't have that much more to say about it besides I love this because right now I feel like we have less than a quarter of the whole story they're going to tell.
Right.
And all it is here's what the world we're going to throw you into. What is this going to be? And they're fucking killing it from
yeah.
every angle. In terms of authenticity, did you notice that the first episode was a three-camera sitcom and the second episode actually moved forward like sitcoms did and they had close-ups
yes.
of characters?
Yes, I did.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Because like, who's going to notice that?
Right.
Yeah, I think they're doing everything right. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great story. And I love the fact that they're going balls to the wall with something so bold and different.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's all we should do this week because
right.
I don't want to start other stuff so late in the podcast.
Right.
But even though the listener emails took an hour, which I think
great.
Is great.
Oh, I love
gave
it.
Us a lot of great talking points,
yep.
a lot of fun arguing. And thank you everyone that wrote in. We'll get
especially
to the rest.
Especially Grant.
Ugh, Jesus, Grant. We're going to get to the rest of the emails next week. And yeah, if you want to write in, chuckandbrad@gmail.com or find the link through chuckandbradpodcast.com. And that's it.
We appreciate all of you listening, rating us on iTunes,
yes.
All that good stuff, following us on social.
Yeah, and please rate us on iTunes if you can.
5 stars.
Yes.
But yeah, we appreciate you guys. Thanks you so much for listening. That's all I've got.
That's all I got.
Deuces.
Never thought my home could ever feel so empty. You turn the lights off, you shut the door. Our fire has grown cold. You fought for us too gently. You threw the battle while I was ready for war. And if this moment's our last one, smoke it down to the filter. They all say I should move on. They all say I should never let you in again. But oh no, oh no, I'm leaving the light on. Well, I'm leaving the door unlocked, calling you home. I'm not letting you go. Oh no, oh no, I'm leaving the light on. I'm leaving the door unlocked, calling you home. When are you coming home? We stumbled through the years. We never stopped to wonder where the road turns or when it ends. You packed up all my hope, our future 6 feet under. You stopped the pulse after life begins. If this moment's our last one, smoke it down to the filter. They all say I should move on. They all say I should give up on your ghost. But I say, oh no, oh no, I'm leaving the light on. I'm leaving the door unlocked, calling you home. I'm not letting you go. Oh no, oh no, I'm leaving the light on. I'm leaving the door unlocked, calling you home. I never even saw you coming. It ends like it began. On a desolate road, a love story stuck in reverse. Our baby steps have taken us worlds apart. The bumps in the road have started proving to be truer than your promise. Tell me, if this moment's our last one, I'll smoke it down to the filter. They all say I should move on. They all say that I've got to go on and keep strong. But oh no, oh no, I'm leaving the light on. I'm leaving the door unlocked. I'm calling you home. I'm not letting you go.